If you'd go to 1 Corinthians 3, please. 1 Corinthians 3. We've been on a series for a number of weeks now entitled The God of Increase. The God of Increase. In 1 Corinthians 3 and 6, Paul said by the Spirit, he said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. He's talking about the Word. He preached the gospel to them the first time they ever heard it. That was planting. Apollos came along later and taught them on some of the same truths. It was watering what they had already heard. But the increase didn't come from Paul or Apollos. Amen. It came from God.
Amen.
Say it out loud, God.
God
gave the increase.
Amen.
Verse 7, he repeats the idea. He said, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gives, present tense, the increase. God is the God of increase. Going all the way back to the creation, where he told, he would speak over what he had made, and he would say, be fruitful. Amen. And multiply.
Amen.
And everything that you see that covers the globe now, it came from his original creation and design and seed of a tree or a plant, or at one point, there were just two people on the planet, Adam and Eve. And you know, that completely does away with racism. Does it or not? People say, well, you know, people talk about pure blood this and pure blood that. And you know, the different categories of white, black, red, brown, yellow. These are not colors. These are categories that are designed to separate. And they're not based on science. You can believe that or not. But there are not different races. Study it for yourself now. The Bible said we all come from one blood. One. Racism goes back to Darwinism and even Nazism. If you really believe in the difference in the races, then you believe in the Darwinian theory of evolution rather than Genesis creation. Why are we different skin tones? I don't know. I know this. People say, well, yeah, he's a brother from another mother. Brother from the same mama. Eve. Or not. No. Having a different skin tone or a different hair texture or a different eye color does not make you a different category of human being. It does not. It does not. And so I personally, I no longer use the terms black, white.
Amen.
I won't use them. You can do what you want to. Why? Because it's based in something that men made up, categories to separate. It's not based in truth. And the truth will make you free.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We all come from Adam and Eve. That's the truth. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's the truth. How come me to get into all of that? Save your letters. You're not going to change me on this. I didn't just decide to do this one afternoon. I've studied. I've looked at it. I've prayed. And the reason I came to that conclusion, I asked the Lord some years ago about this, and he gave me the answer. I won't get into it. But anyway, he said this to me. I asked him why, after all these years, there's still so much trouble with racism. And he said to me, the root of racism is race. As long as you believe in the difference of the races, you will have racism. You cannot get rid of it. Y'all understand that or not? That's my answer. I got it. I didn't think it up. He gave it to me. And so that's why I said I no longer use that terminology, because it's not based in truth. And you got to watch about just believing something because a lot of other people believe it and using language that other people use. We're believers.
Amen. Yes, sir.
We got a book. Yes, sir. Gives us our language. Right. Is that right?
Amen.
Gives us the truth. Helps us think right. Let our mind get renewed.
Amen.
And that's not in any of my notes, but Psalm 115 that we just quoted during the offering. Psalm 115 says, verse 12, the Lord's been mindful of us. He will bless us. What was he thinking about? Blessing us. He'll bless the house of Israel. He'll bless the house of Aaron. Keep going. He'll bless them that fear the Lord. Is that you?
Yes.
Both small and great.
Right.
Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Then it says, the Lord shall what?
Increase
you
more
and more, you and your children. Can we believe that verse?
Yes.
Can we accept it for ourselves today? Can we pronounce it over ourselves today? Absolutely. Go ahead, say it out loud for yourself personally. Say,
the Lord
shall
increase me
more and more.
Me and my children.
Amen. Amen. Now, we've been on this, like we said, for a number of sessions already. And something the Lord would keep bringing me back to was the offering of the woman with the alabaster box of ointment. Matthew 26 and other places. And without going there again today, when we begin this series, I had an idea in mind that we talk about, you know, the God of increase and about how it's God's will to increase us. And that's true. But the Lord had another plan. And I was going to get on this example about the alabaster box one time, and then I was going to something else. Well, as you've seen, we've come back to it over and over again. And finally, what was it, last week or so ago, the Lord quickened to me why. And that is, he's showing us main principles of his increase. Foundational principles of God's increase. And he gave me three things. And the first one was honor. The second one is worship. And the third one is obedience. And we'll see how that works out. But the reason the Lord kept bringing me back and you with me to this alabaster box is that was an honor offering.
Amen.
That was an honor offering.
Yes.
Can you see that?
Yes.
And what we must understand is there's a lot more to God increasing you than giving.
Amen. Amen.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
There's a lot more to this than giving. To hear some folks talk, you'd think that's the whole thing. Is give, 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 and you'll increase. But it's actually possible to give and not increase. And with God, it's never just about an external thing. With him, it's always about the heart. Do you believe that?
Yes.
It's always about the heart. And so I'm excited because, yeah, giving's important and God is the God of increase, but the Lord's helping us to see the foundation in the heart of this thing. Instead of just some of the external parts of it. These are some of the biggest determining factors in God being able to increase us the way He wants to. His way. And the first one we've been camping on is
honor.
Honor. That woman wanted to honor Jesus, didn't she? And so she took probably the most valuable possession that she had, and she gave it to Him. And He understood it, and He received it. Did you hear this now? He received it. It had probably been worth, I don't know, $50,000 today or something like that. And He received it. But Judas badmouthed it, said it was a waste. And even the other disciples got caught up with what he was saying about it. He said, this could have been given to the poor. Do you hear the subtle confusion? And this is what is in much of the church today. You'll hear so much of the church world, anytime any substantial amount of money or any expensive thing is mentioned, before you finish the sentence, they're going, well, what about the poor? So they don't realize they're quoting Judas, not Jesus. So you and I don't want to be caught up in that. Yes, good to help people in need. But is that the only thing? Y'all are quiet. Jesus, if it would be wrong to receive something expensive like that, He wouldn't have received it. He would have told her and everybody else, you should have done this with that. It would have been, it was the perfect opportunity to make this real clear. And He did make it clear. Just not what a lot of people think.
Exactly right.
Right? He did make it clear if you got ears to hear. So look with me in 1 Samuel 2. I thought we were ready to move on to a little bit something else, but the Lord quickened to me this morning. No. Camp on honor. Stay on there a little longer. Do you think we know too much about it?
No.
No, we live in a generation that where many people know basically nothing about it.
Amen.
And you don't understand God if you don't understand something about honor.
Yes,
this is a big part of who He is.
Yes.
And what He is. And so 1 Samuel 2 is where we get the words that's up over our platform. And what was happening here is that the high priest, whose name was Eli, his sons were ungodly men. But they were working in the services and as priests, but they were stealing the offerings. So this phrase, I'll honor those that honor me, it actually comes from talking about offerings.
That's right.
Offerings.
Verse
22, 1 Samuel 2, 22, Eli was very old, heard all that his sons did to Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. He said, why do you do such things? I hear of your evil dealings by the people. Nay, my sons, it's no good report that I hear you make the Lord's people to transgress. Verse 27, there came a man of God to Eli and said, thus said the Lord, did I plainly appear to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest? How many know it's an honor to be chosen to be involved in the things of God?
Amen.
To offer upon my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give to the house of your father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? He gave them offerings, just not all of the offerings. Verse 29, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and my offering? Did the Lord care about what they were doing with His offerings?
Yes.
Does He still care?
Yes.
Or has He changed?
No.
So you'll hear people that should know better say, God don't care about all those things. He don't care about all those natural things and money and things like that. Well, He used to. He said, you honor your sons above me. Did you hear the word honor? See, this is where there's heart problems. You can look at the external issues of them having affairs with people and stealing the offerings, but that's external evidence of heart problems. Can you see this? A lot of times people only focus on the outside. But you remember, the Lord said, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That's always, with everybody, with you, with me, always. He's looking at the heart. And sometimes people say, well, the Lord knows my heart. Well, you say that like it's a good thing. He does know your heart. And that's not always great.
That's right.
You honor your sons above me to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. I just wanted to remind you, all of this was said in connection with offerings. And that woman that gave this offering to Jesus, that was honor. An honor offering. Now, when you talk about honor, like I said, there's a void of any knowledge of it. But you'll hear even organized crime folks talk about honor. Right? You know, showing respect. And it's not true. It's a perversion. It's a distortion. It's fear. I'm going to give you a couple of real basic things about honor. One of the characteristics of honor we're already talking about, there is no honor without heart. It's got to be of the heart, from the heart, or it's not honor. Mark 7:6 says this. He said, Isaiah prophesied and said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So just because somebody talks honor doesn't mean they have any, or that they know it, or that they're really showing it. Because people do things for all kind of reasons. You know, people do things just out of fear. People do things because they're trying to buy something. They're trying to negotiate something. They want something from you. That's not honor. And a second thing here is there's no honor without honesty. And you'll hear people talking about honor, turn around and lie to you. Well, that's one of the most dishonorable things that there is. No, there's no honor without honesty. If you'll notice, they have the same root word, both honor and honesty. Lying is something God absolutely hates. He hates it. I didn't say he hates liars. He hates lying. And the great thing is, even though you may have been a terrible liar, you can change. You can repent. Right? But it takes a heart change, not just an external thing that doesn't last. So he said, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You'll see that this gift that this woman gave to Jesus of this alabaster box, what was happening there went right over Judas' head. And sadly, the other apostles as well. It went right over their head. They didn't see and catch what was happening. And that's because in an ungodly world, People don't understand God. Look with me, if you would, in 2 Samuel 10. I'm going to give you a couple of instances of things that happened with King David. And one reason why I'm using him more than once, you'll find he had some things about the honor of God that actually influenced a lot of people around him in the same way. He knew God. And in worshiping God and all the psalms and everything and songs that he got from God. And if you want to learn more about honor, study his life and hear things that he got and things that the Lord showed him. Not that he never made a mistake. You know he did. But In 2 Samuel 10, verse 1, it says, the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun, his son, reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will show kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. This is a characteristic of honor. It doesn't forget. Y'all with me, church?
Yes, sir.
You know, when David was a fugitive, when he was running for his life, Saul was trying to kill him, he sent elite squads of soldiers to track him and kill him. And it was only the mercy and keeping of God that didn't happen. But during this time, there was this man who was king, took him in and helped him. And now David's king, he's not running anymore. But when this man passed and died, and he heard about it, he said, I need to show respect. Because that man was there for me when I needed help. Does that stir your heart when you hear things like that? Because so you know that's right. And you know that's good. Why? Because that's godly. Because God himself is not unrighteous to forget. Right? He remembers. He knows. You never did anything for any of his people, and he forgot about it. Well, we need to be that way with each other. So, David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. So, David sent out of his own cabinet, if you will, dignitaries to go and say, we come from David, and we're sorry to hear about your father passing, and with words of comfort and with words of respect. And King David wanted us to tell you how much he appreciated your father when he was on the run and when he was in trouble. Your father was there for him, and he'll never forget it. And we wanted to say thank you, and that's what they're there for. Somebody say honor, honor, honor. Not a bunch of lip service. From the heart.
Yes, sir.
Right? Not just for show. And so David's servants came to the land of the children of Ammon. Keep reading. The princes of the children of Ammon said to Hanun their lord, do you think David honors your father? And he sent comforters to you? Hadn't David sent his servants to you to search the city and spy it out? To overthrow it? See, ungodly people don't understand honor. Can you see this?
Yes,
they don't understand it because they see everything through the lens of how they would do. And they're not honorable. So with them, there's always some ulterior motive, some hidden agenda, some selfish thing going on. Because nobody just sends dignitaries for no reason. Nobody just spends money. Yeah, honorable people do.
Amen.
I said honorable people do. They give expecting nothing in return. They expend themselves. They do things to show honor, asking for no return. But devilish people, ungodly people, faithless people don't. And they don't believe that other people do. And so they told him, they said, don't you believe that? It's a ruse. He's acting like that, but no. They're planning on attacking us. And they're coming to spy out the city and just see who's here. Thought it would be a good opportunity to show up and take advantage of this situation. Verse 4. So Hanun took David's servants, shaved off half of their beards, and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. Is that dishonorable? They purposely tried to publicly humiliate them. Well, if you read the rest of the story, they got war. That's what they got. And they got destroyed because they didn't understand honor. See, if Judas had been thinking right at all, instead of just covetous, instead of just wanting the money, he would have never brought up anything about the poor. In the midst of this beautiful situation where this woman is honoring Jesus?
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Yes.
Now, there's going to be people that don't understand this. We've gotten a lot of ugly letters over the years. People don't understand this. And there's people that they don't want to understand it. And they're not going to. We can't control that. But honor, the honor of God, is a beautiful thing. It is an amazing thing. It's God thing. Hallelujah. Not some pretend, not some junk, not trying to flatter somebody, not trying to buy something, but genuine honor of God is amazing. It's wonderful. And we are going to have it. And we're going to practice it. No matter if anybody else understands it or not.
Yes.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. Now go with me to another offering. And it's definitely an offering of honor. This is another thing with David. Over in 1 Chronicles, the 11th chapter. 1 Chronicles 11:9. It says, David waxed greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, the Bible, if you read the book of Proverbs, there's several places where it talks about honor and riches. Riches and honor. Honor and riches. Honor and success. They're connected. Verse 10, he said, these are the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom, and with all Israel to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Verse 15, now 3 of the 30 captains went down to the rock to David into the cave of Adullam, and the host of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. So they are in a war. Battles are raging, and there are battle lines. The enemy on that side and Israel on this side. David was then in the hold, and the Philistines' garrison was then at Bethlehem, which they've lost territory. Bethlehem was theirs. Now the Philistines have it. So the line is past Bethlehem. So verse 17, David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem that is at the gate. Now he doesn't just want a drink of water. I'm sure they had water in the camp. And it's not just about a drink of water. That's his well. And the enemy has it. Right? And you know, depending on where you grew up and what you like, is no water tastes like your water. You know, and no cornbread tastes like mama's cornbread or mama's biscuits. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I feel sorry for you. But he just kind of, you know, is thinking and feeling out loud. And he said, oh, I wish I had a drink of that Bethlehem well water. My well. Our well. And verse 18, 3 break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem. Hold on. Whoa, whoa. This is talking about some of his mighty men. If you read that whole chapter, it's talking about the mighty men. And three of his heroic men heard this. One of them looked at the other and said, "Did you hear the king?" He said, "Yeah. The king wants some Bethlehem water. What are we going to do about it?" Oh, what are we talking about here? What are we talking about? What are we talking about? Honor has to do with what you esteem, what's important to you, what you value, what you treasure. That woman with that alabaster box, that might have been the most valuable possession she had. So what does it mean by her breaking it and giving it to the Lord? He's more valuable. Come on, can you see this? More valuable. Way more valuable. I don't mind breaking this. I don't mind not having this. I don't mind losing all of this. Why? Just to make a statement to say, "Jesus, since you came in my life, nothing is the same. Everything has changed. I wish I had 100 boxes." Is that right? Of ointment. But this is what I got. And the Lord understood this. He heard her heart. He didn't just see the box break and smell the ointment. He heard her heart. He saw her heart. And he received it. I said he received it. And to bring up something about helping the poor in the middle of that is disrespectful. Disrespectful. Ignorant. It went right over their heads. What was happening? Well, here. And you know, he said that to them. He said, "You always got the poor with you. You can help them anytime you want to." In other words, what's that got to do with this? Nothing. And so here, the same kind of thing. These men heard David say, "Wish I had some Bethlehem water." They strapped their gear on. Mm-hmm. They fought their way through the enemy line, got to the well. I guess one drew water while the other two fought. Come on, are you listening? They got the water in the container. Now they got to fight their way back through the line, back to the other side. Now, what was it that Judah said about that gift? What a waste. Did you hear that? What a waste. Why would somebody say that? They don't understand honor. They don't understand it. You know, you heard the phrase, "takes one to know one." People with no honor don't recognize honor. And two verses later, Judas goes to the leaders and ask them how much money they will pay him to betray Jesus. How dishonorable is that? So that's why he was clueless as to what's even going on in the room. He didn't even see it. He didn't even understand it. Because he is so dishonorable. Honor recognizes honor. And you'll see that right here. Where did they learn this from? These men. They actually learned it from David, who learned it from God. Because in the beginning, the men around David were not honorable. They were a ragtag bunch of misfits. Yes. Have you read it or not? Yes. Don't turn there, but 1 Samuel 22, 1 and 2. 1 Samuel 22, 1 and 2. David departed and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And verse 2, everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves to him. Honorable? Gripers. People in debt not paying their debts. People in distress and running from their problems. That's not honorable. And he became a captain over them. Who? Distressed, in debt, discontented. Fast forward a number of years and many battles, and now he's king, and these men are called heroes. Oh, come on, can you see that? These men are called honorable and mighty men. Woo! Oh, friend, this ought to make you want to jump and run. Is it possible? Is it possible, even though you've been a hide in the back, backstabbing, lying, deceiving, cheating, stealing rascal, is it possible after that to become a man or woman of honor? Is it possible? It is gloriously possible. It's possible. Woo! By the blood of the Lamb, it's possible. By the renewing and regenerating power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, it's possible. But it makes a lot of difference who you're around. Who you're around. Who you hear. Who you see. What they do. Your leaders. How they think. What they do. Honor begets honor. Come on, can you see that? They got this from David. Because when they first joined him, they weren't that. But over a period of time, they became like him. He got it from God. Can you say, thank you, Lord? Back to 1 Chronicles 11. 1 Chronicles 11, 18. The three broke through the host of the Philistines. Now let me just stop right here. What did Judas say about that box of ointment? What a waste. Is this unnecessarily dangerous? See, then this logical thinking people who don't understand honor, they'd go, that's crazy. No, you never do that. You calling the Bible wrong? This is recorded for us for a reason. The Lord wanted us to know this. Why? They broke through the host of the Philistines. They drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and they took it and brought it to David. I don't know if he noticed that they were gone or how long they've been gone, but he hears behind him, O king, he turns around, and there's these men with blood on them, sweat, mud. I mean, you don't fight your way through the line and back through the line and look good.
That's right.
And the reason they're not dead, because somebody else is.
That's right.
This is war. And so they said, O king, were you wanting some Bethlehem water? Bethlehem well water. He said, why? They said, king, they presented it to him. Water drawn from the Bethlehem well not an hour ago. Excuse me, that's a little blood right there. But what is this? Come on, help me, church. What is this? Honor. This is honor. Honor. And so David would not drink it. He wouldn't drink it. Now what would Judas say? What a waste. After all of that, and you're not going to drink it? As somebody who doesn't understand honor. David, when he saw this and he heard this, immediately it came into his heart that this water could have a higher purpose than him drinking it. It could take on a different place He would make it an offering. Can you see why I'm talking about this? This is why this has so much in common with what the woman did for Jesus. He would make it, it's an honor gift from his men to him. He could receive it. He could enjoy it. They'd be blessed. But he can show them it means more to him than that. Oh, come on, can you see this? It means more to him than that by him saying, no, this is so valuable to me. I don't want to drink it. I want to give it to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I want to give it to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. He wouldn't drink it, but he poured it out to the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, folks that don't understand this, they'd cuss and say, what a waste. These men fall to get it and you won't even drink it because they don't understand honor. He poured it out to the Lord and he said, my God forbid it me that I should do this thing. Shall I drink the blood of these men that have put their lives in jeopardy? He's saying, I value your lives more than me drinking this. I value what you did more than this. And because God is greater than me, hallelujah, for with the jeopardy of their lives, they brought it. Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mightiest, who used to be bad debtors and complainers and running from their troubles, and now they're standing out here. We're still talking about them centuries later. What kind of honor they had and were. Oh, somebody say, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So when you're talking about honor, it has to be of the heart. Can't just be something manufactured, something superficial, some kind of flattery. People give for all kind of reasons. A lot of people give out of guilt. Guilt. That's not honor. And you hear even some, you know, priests and preachers talking about, you know, you have so much, you should feel guilty for having so much. You should give to the poor. Well, giving out of guilt has nothing to do with honor. Can you see that? You'll see people giving, trying to buy a blessing. That's not honor. You can't buy things that Jesus already paid for.
Exactly right.
Right? You can't buy a salvation. Well, I'm going to give an offering so my people will be saved. That's not right. Jesus already bought and paid for their salvation. You can't add anything to it. I'm going to sow an offering so I can be healed. No, you can't buy healing. No, Jesus took your infirmities. He bore your sicknesses. He carried your pains. By his stripes you're healed. Your money's got nothing to do with that. When you're sowing seed, don't be talking about a blessing that's already been bought and paid for. Don't put the two in the same sentence. I know everybody don't agree with that, but find it in the Scripture. No. There's a time and place for these things. Now, he goes on to say in the third thing, we'll touch on this in closing. Go to 1 Chronicles 21. We said there's no honor without heart. And there's no honor without honesty. The moment you get into shading things and hiding things and misrepresenting things, there is no honor in that. None. You have left honor. Even though you're talking honor, there's no honor there. Has to be honesty to be honored. Think about God. I mean, all true honor comes from Him. And about the only thing we've ever heard of that's impossible with Him is for Him to lie. Right?
Yes.
Why? Because if He could lie, He wouldn't be the God we read about in the Bible. He wouldn't be Him. And if he ever lied to you one time, how could you be sure to trust him from then on? You wouldn't know. Did he lie again? And thank God, even though we have lied, we can repent. Is that right? And by the grace of God, we can change. But friend, if you're going to be a faith person, you cannot be a liar. It'll absolutely undermine your faith. It'll undermine your prayer life. It'll undermine your witness. You can't be a liar and have strong faith. But, you know, all of us have made mistakes. It starts really young. Hmm? 3-year-old. You hear the cookie jar rattle. You come in. Cookie jars on sideways. Crumbs on the counter. Chocolate on little Johnny's face. Johnny, you been in the cookie jar? Well, see, you laughed, but it ain't funny. You won't think it's funny when you ask them, did they take money out of your purse when they're 16? And they say, uh-uh, and they did. No, one of the most devilish things there is lying. You cannot be a man or woman of honor and be a liar. Cannot. The devil is the father of lies. And he's a liar and the father of it. When he talks to you, you know, you can pretty much think the opposite of whatever he's saying. He's a liar. But God, his word's the word of truth.
Amen.
His spirit's the spirit of truth.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And it's the truth that makes you free. Now, the third thing we touched on, and I want to give you one example of it, is there's no honor as far as honor gift without cost. Without cost. Or you could say sacrifice. In 1 Chronicles 21, chapter 21, verse 21. 1 Chronicles 21:21, David came to Ornan. Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Now here again, David is king at this time. And David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor. This was Ornan's property, his land and his building and his stuff. He said, grant me this place that I may build an altar therein to the Lord. And this wound up, this actually was the future site of the temple. And he said that I may build an altar there to the Lord. You shall grant it me for full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. They had made some mistakes and judgment was happening and they needed help and they needed intervention from God. And verse 23, Ornan said to David, take it to you, and let my lord the king do what's good in his eyes. Lo, I give you the oxen for the burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all. Yes. Well, that's right.
Yes.
That's good, right? It's your king, and it benefits your whole country.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes.
And your king's asking for it? He said, yes, sir. Have it. Have the whole thing. You can have the land. You can have the buildings. You can have the livestock. You can have the equipment. I give it all to you. Verse 24. King David said to Ornan, no. No. I will verily buy it for the full price. Why? For I will not take that which is yours for the Lord, nor offer burning offerings without cost. So David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. He didn't ask him for a discount. He paid him top price for it. Why? Somebody said, well, why? The man gave it to him. Why didn't he honor it and receive it? Because this is not something that's coming to David. This is something that is to the Lord.
Amen.
And so David said, well, no, if you give it to me for nothing and I give it to the Lord, I didn't give the Lord anything.
Right.
This is supposed to be something David is giving to the Lord for this place. And if it costs you nothing, it means nothing to you. So honor has to do with valuing and esteeming. And so if it doesn't mean anything to you, why would it mean something to God? Come on, you got to think about it. God created this whole thing, right? He created the stars and the planets. And you're going to go, look, Lord, it's a cow. God's going to go, ooh, it's a cow that you got for free. Right? What does it mean? If it doesn't mean anything to you, why would it mean anything to Him? Because He's not just looking at the size of the check. He's not just looking at the denomination of the bill. You couldn't write a big enough check to make God go, whoa. You can't do that. What's He looking at? Come on, church, help me out. What's He looking at? He's looking at your heart. And if it doesn't mean anything to you, it's not going to mean anything to Him. Who are talking about honor, those that honor me, I will honor. Well, doing some token something that means nothing to you, that's not honoring God. Going through the motions, just a ritual thing. That's why we said there's much more to the increase of God than giving. Can you see that?
Yes, sir.
And that people give in different ways and different reasons. And God's not just looking for some amount. He's looking at the heart. And giving is not just something you do, and honor is not just something you do, offering time on Sunday. This is every day of the week, everywhere you are. Is that right? On the job, dealing with people. How many think, even if you're dealing with ungodly, foul-mouthed, blaspheming unbelievers, should you keep your word with them? Absolutely. Right? Remember, there's no honor without honesty. Should you do what you said you would do, even if it winds up costing you more than you had thought it would? See, this is a big part of our witness, church. The Bible said that we're supposed to have a good reputation with those that are without. Even people that don't believe in God, even people that mock us and make fun of us, they ought to still say on the side, well, I tell you one thing, they'll keep their word. They'll do, I tell you what, you deal with them, you know what you got. They'll do what they said they would do. They'll follow through. If they said they'd do it, they'll do it. This is honor. This is a big part of our witness. And when people see these things of honor, whether they understand it or not, if their heart just begins to be open a little bit, it'll touch them.
That's right.
It'll reach them. It'll open them up to more truth.
Amen.
And if they'll listen, the Lord will lead them out of darkness into full salvation.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In Him.
Thank you.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Stand on your feet, everybody.
This ministry has been brought to you today free of charge by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.